Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Do For Self. And as always, I like to begin with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Thanking Allah for this opportunity once again. We're starting a little late this morning. Forgive us. This evening. Forgive us. We were sitting here talking, and I guess
time got away.
Something happened. We looked up. It was time to get on, and we had already passed the time. But we apologize for anyone that have been on and seen that, realized that mistake. And we're thankful to Allah for those who get a chance to listen to what we are saying. And we would like feedback, if you have any. It might be questions, it might be thought, it may be add-on or whatever the case may be. Maybe even a disagreement of the opinion we may have. We're interested. We know we can't catch everybody on a podcast or Facebook or one of the things that open to us today as the technology is changing over the many, many years. That we can be talking to people today and they don't hear us until next week, next month, next year, and around the world. So we thank Allah for anyone who has an opportunity to hear that we're saying, speaking to ourselves, to you, calling each other, being those that's calling each other to what's right, doing our best as the halal industry. I have to repeat sometimes that when the Imam and myself sat down in 95 in Newark, New Jersey, he was aware of me already and everything. But at this point, he had I spoke to him. This was before he did ComTrust, a meeting in Chicago. And I told him, Brother Imam, if we could put your name on the meat product, we can sell it not only all over this country, but all over the world. I said, halal is a business, yes. I said, but more importantly, it's economic. It's our economics for our people. I said, when I was a child, I said, I know you know this verse in the Bible and in the Quran. I said, but when I was a child, my father used to read the Bible. My mother did too, but she died when I was 7. My father continued all the way up until I became a teenager. You know what I mean? Maybe 15, 16, something like that. And I said, he used to read pretty much the same part to me every week. And one of the favorites was Moses, God telling Moses to strike the rock. There are 12 tribes. 12 springs will gush forward. And each tribe will know their spring. I said that to the imam. I said, and then he was well aware of I wasn't telling him nothing new. And he said, yes, I agree, man. I said, and the thing my father said to me is, son, don't think that spring is water. That is the need for each tribe. Each tribe will know their spring, meaning that they will know their work, their talent, what they have to do, you know, their life. So it's the same thing today with us. So when we see halal, I often told people right here in Philadelphia, especially some of the brothers that early on from other communities that would want me to, when I told them I was slaughtering and processing meat, wanted me to get my arms around Arabs, Pakistanis, and others, even African. Oh, and I remember that verse from my father. Every tribe has its own. We as a people, we're a tribe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We may not call ourselves by tribe name, but we as a people, we are a tribe. We are a nation. We got brothers and sisters right here in America now, Muslims, even Muslims that have followed the Imam Muhammad, who may have been with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who would say they won't vote because they're not American. How did an Arab become an Arab? Let's just stay Islamic for a minute. How did he become an Arab? He became an Arab by living in Arabia. But, I mean, how did he become Arabian? Because Allah put him there. He caused his life to live there. They had generations after the first was born there. The first was taken there, however they got there. The first rode up there and decided that's where they'll live. How are Europeans? They lived there. Allah gave them space in Europe to live there. How did the African become an African? The name wasn't always Africa. I don't know. I can't remember right now. Before, I think it was Alexander the Great and his brother named Africa. Africa, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was Alexander's brother's name. Wasn't it something like that? You don't remember? Yeah, he came up with it, but I thought it was somebody in his family's name. But either way, Africa and the people who went to Africa to live. Because remember, once upon a time, we lived in one spot. When you think about the humanity in its original form, we lived in one spot, and that was wherever Adam was. Then when there became his wife, Hawa, when she came about, they lived in one spot. Then most of us, we know of really just two children. But no, it's more than two. All of us are his children, offspring. Every human being that walks the earth was the offspring of Adam. He didn't get the chance to see us. He didn't know how many. It probably would have gave him a heart attack right then if he had told him the number of people that's on earth today would have been his grandchildren one day. Just in all the way down the line. Probably gave him a heart attack. Been too much pressure for him. But really, Allah has put people where he wanted them to live. We can stay on the story that the white man brought us here. And some want to say, don't even believe that story. I had a brother talking to me about that. I had to tell him to stop. Please stop, because I wouldn't want to hear nothing else from you. You're going to tell me something about what's in the books that's written, and you're going to tell us that we didn't come here by way of ship, forced, chained, and made slaves for 400 years?
It's recorded.
It's recorded. And yes, we don't know all the history because we wasn't there. But I accept that I'm an African-American descendant of slaves. And I was put in America after being, I guess, through my foreparents. I'm not talking about me personally. My foreparents was born in Africa. But once they moved here, by any way that you want to say they came, their children, their offspring, living here, born here, became American. Children of Africans, offsprings of Africans, descendants of slaves of who were African, that's us. Allah's plan was for us to be here like that. No, nothing else could have made that happen. Allah's not cruel for that happening to us. There's a picture we get out of that. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, said that Islam will return to the humanity, to the world. Every time, he may not have used world, or he was using Arabic, but we can see it today to be interpreted as the world. He said, every time Islam returns to the people, it will be to those who are the downtrodden and seemingly the most ignorant. There was nothing walking around in that area more ignorant than the Arabs when the message came to Prophet Muhammad. That's history. So ignorant they had killed their daughters because they didn't want daughters. How the heck they thought they got this? Somebody's daughter. You don't want no grandchildren. Because your daughters don't have no grandchildren. If there's no girls around, we already know. Two men getting together, you ain't having no babies. they didn't have, you know how they say, more modern. And this would be televised. It's televised today. You know, everything that could be done could be televised. It could be, I'm talking through my mic, which is the phone. And I can be heard all over this earth if you got a phone or if you got some technology that picks the wavelength up. But also I can turn on the FaceTime thing, the camera, and talk to somebody and see them across the world. So the point is we have to stop thinking that we saying something strong. And I mean, the few brothers that say that, they think they strong. I ain't no American. I ain't voting. Well, how do you think you make – I'd like to point at Lot, the prophet Lot, and his society. I asked my father when he read the Bible to me as a youngster, as a child. And I asked him almost on every time that he read Lot to me, which was every week. He went through the Bible every week, but certain stories he gave to me right on the day that he gave it to me last week. And he just kept it to me from a young age. Like I said, before I was 10, really. My mom was died at 7. I was 7, excuse me. And he continued. I remember at 10, I started saying, I got the patience of Job. I remember reading something, straining with some word, but reading something. And my father said, yeah, you could do what he do. You could be what he is. And then as I grew older, I realized what I read was Thomas Jefferson's letter. And I didn't get all the words right, but I tried. And my father told me what stuck in my head is I could do what he did, which told me I could be the president. But think about the Muslim who is not using his brain. You live in America. I can understand an Arab who's not going to stay in America. He's visiting, and he's going back. Pakistanis, I knew people like that, Bangladesh, people from Bangladesh who went back. I even knew of a couple Japanese and Chinese that came, went to school, and went back. You know what I mean? And they all said, when the ones that's going back, that is, they all said they studied here, but what they learned here, they're going to take back and help their people with. I heard a commitment to their people. As a young man, I was beyond a teenager at this time when I met these people. And when they told me, I was impressed. They came to study because for me, you could have had colleges all over the world. But they came to America to study medicine, the ones I talked to. I was a man. Had my own children. Saying they were in school, but they were going to go back to their country to use what they learned among their people to help their people. I thought that was so strong. Here we are living in America, and we still got some Muslims, African-American descendants of slaves, who want to say they're not American. Don't bring the vote up to me. I asked them today, one brother today, I asked him today, before getting on today, I was somewhere else. I said, what is surer to you? Surer is when a group of people, many people, get together and make a decision that's going to affect all of them. What is Congress doing when they get in the room and talk about something? Surer.
Mm-hmm.
What is the rest state reps doing? Surer. What are the senators doing? Surer. What is city council doing? Sure. And if you go on and on. Now, if I say I'm not American, where I need to change, and or he added in his little speaking back was, they're corrupt. Yes, but how will you change it if you don't get into the office to change the office?
Yeah, recognize it, then
you got to do something about it. That's right. The young people that came from overseas told me they study here to go back and use it to help their people. Think about that.
That's exactly what it is.
Learn the white man. Don't be like him.
Yeah.
Don't be bad like him, dirty like him.
That's
but
true.
Come back and use what you learn
to
help your people.
That's right.
So here we need a president of the United States sometime soon. I don't wish it was 20 years younger. I'm trying to get to 150.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I can't get to 150 if I keep going back.
Yeah,
but
going back.
Yeah. but seriously speaking, we need some of our brothers and sisters that are in their 20s and 30s to think about leadership in America. We can't tell our children you ain't American. Pack up and go where you belong then and see who wants you. See who wants the African-American descendants of slaves and going to treat them right. When we're on Hodge, we got to show the people at Hodge that maintains the house how to do better than what they're doing.
Yes, we do.
Because they're racist. Not all of them, not every single one of them. I don't mean it like that. But it's so clear. Those in authority, you can see it so clearly. You walk down the before you get to the Cabo, and you got your black skin, regardless what shade it is, they show their contempt until they hear you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Amriki, you're Amriki, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother, I did not know. Please come. Otherwise, you was just black. We got to do something. You know what I mean? When we look at the world, we have to know what world we live in. We have to recognize and use the knowledge and have the understanding on how to change the world we're living in. Allah gives us that. And don't change it by, you know what I mean, a type of demand. Change it by following the word of God. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, see how, in other words, living in America and leading in America is no different than learning a field of trade. You want to be a carpenter? When I was young, you can go to the high school that teaches you the trade of building, or you can go to the high school that teach you the trade of recording the records and things of this nature. You can do that. But in order to do it properly, we need a team across the country that see the same picture. We don't need, you know, little bursts of air, so to speak, a burp, I should call it, of a person saying, "I ain't American. We're on our way to take care of them. You tell me you ain't American, you got to get out the car. Because you're going to interrupt what we're doing. We're trying to put somebody in office that will be a help to humanity." And that's another thing that we as Muslims have to be bigger than other people.
Yeah.
We're not helping an individual. We're helping humanity. That's what Allah calls us to be, servants for humanity. If we give the right picture, we become the mercy to humanity. That's a service.
Mm-hmm.
When our people began to look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what he was doing, a lot of our people were scared to call the white man the devil, so they didn't come too close. Even if they don't want to come to Islam direct, that's okay.
Right.
plant the seed of goodness. And that plant, that seed, in other words, if somebody think they can draw real good, I got a pretty good hand in drawing once upon a time. I haven't done it in years. But if somebody think they can draw real good, and you know you can draw real good, there was a brother by the name of Mason. I know I could draw. No question about it. But when he drew it, he gave such a reality to the drawing. And my father did that. My mother did it. She was able to take the crayons and put color in the drawings, and then she would put the crayons so thick, never seen it before since then in my life. She's the only person I've ever seen it. She would take a razor blade and shave some of the crown off, but it would give the face, it make the face and the hands look like they ain't on the paper no more. Look like they off the surface. And, you know, it would be, but she shaped it in such a way it had a little realness to it. Somebody can do something. This brother Edward Mason, he would use a pencil just like I would. But his cowboy looked more real than my cowboy. His city person looked more real than my city person.
Hmm.
So think about it. If I'm living to be a good human being and others wanted to be like that, what kind of world would it be? Like, we got a beautiful world that we allow to be around us that actually destroyed. I didn't feel good with the brother. And I had to tell the brother to be quiet because he's trying to talk me into doing something that I think is good for people if it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear him and I want to go along with him. But once you throw in that, you know, you got a bad seed here, I'm not American. Well, man, I can't do nothing with you. I really can't.
You know, brother, man, that's
just talk loud enough so the people.
That's why you have to speak to the people to unite first, because that eliminates
the
bad part.
That's
you
right.
know, we'll stay focused on what's right. You know, that's the importance of having the people work as one.
That's right. That's right. And that's how we have to see it. But
the people moving individually.
Yeah.
And you see both sides of them. You see the good side
and the bad.
And they bring out the bad side. So,
yeah. And the bad side don't help us.
They don't help us. Not
we need brothers and sisters growing up among us. Some of them right now, maybe 50, in their 50s. But we need plenty of them coming from the younger age groups that aspires to be the president of the United States and direct it right. Hmm. Oh, well, a Muslim can't be the president. Yes, he can. Our brother went up. I can't even remember his name right now. And I know him. We used to see each other when the imam was alive, and we always were out at the first Sundays and other programs. But he became an officer of government. And was sworn in. He was the first one in America sworn in with a Quran. And people was, you know, some wanted to say something, but really they couldn't. If you can swear a person in the name of God, and you can't knock the God, then you got to let them do it. Three faiths, we know that are no joke around here in America and around the world. We cannot honor that Jews don't exist. We don't like the way they are existing, especially like right now, willing to kill innocent people and think it's okay because they angry. They want to get revenge. No, you can't do that. God is first. If God said don't get revenge and don't kill innocent people, that's bigger than your life. That's bigger than my life. You can drop a bomb right in the house of a group, and it tear up all the brick and hit the bottom floor and don't explode. It wasn't meant for nobody to die in that house. Sign of daddy gonna die. But at the same time, we are told by God, don't kill. So we don't like that position. You're getting revenge, but you're not even avenging the life that's gone by getting the ones that did it. So I use today's title for myself, knowing, understanding, realizing the times we are living in. Nothing new. These things Imam Muhammad talked about, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about. I'm sure Muhammad the Prophet talked about, Jesus talked about, Moses talked about. These are the times that we got to look at. those in the East were told by Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace, that one day the raisin head, the nappy head, in other words, in Arabic they use a term that says the raisin head, will be the Khalifa, will be the leaders of the whole of mankind, of the humanity. He'll lead all of the Muslims. So that is like heat against some of them. So they don't want to see Islam grow in America. So they like to come and disturb what we have in the sense of dividing us. All of them? No, definitely not. Don't put the innocent with the guilty. Don't even look for the guilty. Let Allah take care of that. Just make sure you're not in the trap. You're not in the snare. I don't want to be somebody else. I never could be somebody else. I have to be who I am. Whatever I did, whether it was a mistake or error, whatever, I'm going before my Lord as who I am. Not as somebody else, but just like who I am. And if anyone, now let me say it now, Nate is reminding me, I see a hand. I'm going to open the mic for you. This is 334-419. Your hand is up. The mic is on. You can ask a question, make a statement, suggestion, whatever you'd like to do.
As-salamu alaykum, Michael Hameen Jackson.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate what you're doing, Imam. I think of what Imam Muhammad left us, that we still need to implement and study in terms of the insights. And you are sharing a lot of that with us. There's one thing that he left us with. Yes, sir, Allahu Akbar. There's one thing that he left us in the latter days of his physical life here. The idea of language environment, and he pointed to the Nation of Islam as an example, that the Nation of Islam was more than just bean pies and newspapers, but it was a language environment. And it got me to thinking, okay, and then he identified the oppressive language environment that we live in. So it got me to thinking that I have to be more conscious of the language I use. I need to be aware in terms of the inspired language, because we know how we were moved, many of us, by the language of Imam Muhammad. And yes, he told us the source of that language was scripture, was the Quran in particular. The source of that language, Allah inspired him to be able to, when he spoke from scripture, but it wasn't chapter and verse. It was the logic of the scripture, you know, it was that logic. So I'm studying him as a model. I'm saying, okay, well, Allah has inspired him with keys in terms of how not only establish himself, but to establish his students. So I'm saying, okay, the Quran has the language to correct and the logic to correct the oppressive language environment that we're in. So the more, and it's not a numbers thing, the more of us that learn that and apply that in our lives, and then seek to find one another who are like minds and like spirits, I see the success already, because the formula is there, and Imam laid it out. His success went across the world, outside of the United States. So I'll stop there, but I appreciate what you're doing. You know, I'm going to say, fee man Allah, keep the faith, babe.
I mean, so, yes, that's it. Yes, sir, for all of us, our brother.
Right.
You know what I mean? We thank you for your comment. Touch the one on your phone just in case you want to come back on. I'll know you came back.
Yes, sir.
And I can hit it. So that way it will be clear that just what you're saying, this is the life we have to live. We In other words, what Allah has blessed us with, it's not, you know, it's not a, just a color of a skin thing. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, told his companions, his closest companions, when they used to make fun of Bilal, "Oh, black Bilal, all of us are black." Then the prophet would even show him in another way. One day they're moving together, walking seemingly the way the story is told. And he said, "Hey, Bilal, Bilal," like he's calling Bilal, like Bilal is walking out a little in front of him or something. But he's getting attention. You know how we do. He's getting attention of the group. He said, "What is it that you've done? I see your footsteps going into paradise before ours." These things are telling us something. It's not making us special people. We're no more special than the people of his time. Allah says that he will always send a messenger. He's the seal of the prophet, but he will always send a messenger. People want to down from overseas, particularly going into the minds of some of our younger brothers, some brothers that don't know how to love self. How did Elijah Muhammad get it and he couldn't read Arabic? He read the Quran. And I, like I said, I have to say, I don't have to hear anybody else. I'm proof for myself.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Vietnam, all I had, I only went to the temple once on my way to Vietnam on leave. I was able to take with me from the temple number 12 in Philadelphia, Malala Muhammad Ali Quran. This don't make me special. This just make me be a witness bearer. The how to live, the message to the black man, the Bible and the dictionary. And I grew up that reading was my hobby. I liked reading. I read the Quran and the Bible 3 times in the year I was in Vietnam. Every time somebody wasn't shooting at us or we wasn't shooting at them, I was reading. I read the how to live and message to the black man at least 4 times a month because they were thinner books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did I get out of that? One thing, when I was coming home, I knew that I was going towards Islam.
You knew where you
were. I knew where I had to go. But the thing that was so evident and clear to me that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not. He gave the symbols now. No, I ain't trying to erase what people heard. I'm going to give at least 4 things that would be easily proven if we read the Quran and we went through orientation class. When I read the Quran in Vietnam, I had not seen the Honorable Elijah Muhammad anywhere in person, never heard him. I only heard Minister Nello out of Florida.
Well, he lives
at Temple. Yeah, he lives in Florida now, but he was in Philly back then, 1968, late May or early June. I was home on leave, and my cousin invited me to go to the temple one time. And I went. And I accepted, was rejected because I was in the military. But I asked for something to read, and literally I wanted a flyer when I said it. But he pulled books out. He pulled, and I like to read. He pulled the Quran out, Malala Muhammad Ali Quran, How to Eat to Live, Message to Black Man. I took those 3 books, the Bible and the dictionary, to Vietnam. Not once did I hear Donald Elijah Muhammad's voice, or any history here in Minister Nello that one time. I never heard anything about Islam except for what I read in the Quran, what I read in How to Even Live, what I read in Message to the Black Man.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I could not see Allah in the Quran. I heard some brothers send a message back to me, some imams, "Can you see Allah?" Yes, you can see Allah. If you're looking for a body, no, you're looking wrong. I see Allah's creation. I know he exists. And he's the one to tell us we can't see him with our physical eyes. We can't put no image on him. But I see his power. I see his promises true. I see that he don't lie. Say that he'll forgive you, he'll forgive you. So we encourage people to seek forgiveness when they make a mistake and then get away from that. Don't just keep, "I'm going to do it today and do it tomorrow, do it the next day, and every day I'm asking for forgiveness, but I ain't serious." Allah knows that. But when I read the Quran, like I said, I read about Allah. Who gave me that book?
Mm.
The nation. that Allah is God. He's by himself. That Muhammad the prophet received the Quran. That's in the Quran. So for me, it was different. So when I came home in July of 1969, I joined the nation. I wasn't back in Philadelphia no more than a few days before I went into the temple. And what I realized that people are saying to us is that he don't have none. He has what Allah gave him. I see the hand up for 718-806. And the mic is open for you, so you can speak.
Question or whatever.
You can turn your radio down if you want. We hear the mic behind you, but people to hear your question.
A big measurement.
The mic is open.
In the time of man. Big measurement.
708-806.
It is a time of difficulty. We know from the word of Allah, the Quran
maybe
is powerful
you
hear,
man,
and rich
we'll listen for
and potent in the
if
in
we
its
hear.
Power or in its capacity to communicate volume with few words.
Mm-hmm.
Volume with a I used to hear as a young man, interested, curious in the scripture, I used to hear that some imams overseas, that they took this al-Fatiha, one word or one line of al-Fatiha, and they did volumes. I would have said, I did say to myself, I didn't say to anybody, I didn't want to hurt anybody, so if I said to myself, yeah, they don't have anything to do but waste time. That was when I was young, But now that I'm older and I have myself enriched my own self by my studies, and I have entertained myself in such a heavenly way, I put myself in like a heavenly environment, just with my curiosity, searching God's word, put me in a heavenly environment.
What's up, Mr. King? You look real good with that hat on, that Lord hat on,
young
that leather coat.
Mind and the young expressions I made, that I still say.
I'm going to take that 1-8-806 on the mic.
That makes the volume.
Love him, and
my husband
thought he wanted to say something. So I'm going to turn you off and get back to where we're at. And at the right time, hit it again. I think you got to cut your hand off now, touch the one, and then hit it again, and then we'll think you want to say something. We applaud, no question about it, our leader, our teacher, Imam Muhammad, and his word is top.
Right.
But it's not for you to get on the and play that unless that's what you say that you want to play. You want to play a verse, say it.
Yes.
If you didn't mean to do it, then I have to cut the mic off and let you come back on when you want to come on. But you got to remove your hand. That is 718-806. Touch the one on your phone to cut it off, and if you need to come back on, I'll see you touch it again, and then we'll turn the mic on for you. And you know, in other words, we live in a real world.
Mm-hmm.
We can share. If there's a point that to be shared with everybody, let's do that. But otherwise, we're doing a radio program here. No, that brother think he got more to say than Imam Muhammad. No, I'm speaking about Imam Muhammad. You know, I ain't just listening to him. I'm speaking about him. I'm speaking what he gave to us as a blessing. So anyway, I'm saying to us that many have said that our leaders didn't get anything because they didn't know the Arabic, etc. Yes, could be so if we didn't put God in the picture, if we didn't put Allah in the picture. Allah don't need a language. Allah talks to us in all the languages. One of the brothers reminded me also that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to say a particular prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah, who created the heavens and the earth. Fraud Muhammad didn't create anything. In the lessons of the Nation of Islam in orientation class, the lesson said that the father of Farad Muhammad. His name was Afonso. And his, and I'll bring you on in a minute, my brother. His name was Afonso, and his mother was Gigi. And they said, oops, when they tried to have a boy. They missed the first time. Well, they was trying to have a boy. There wasn't a God making him, and there's no God coming from him. Then when he went, when we look at just the fact that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, speaking about the picture of Master Farad Muhammad, the teacher Farad Muhammad, he said when he returned, he won't look like that. Telling everybody, don't look for God to come back like that in a man. If that's the picture you got, don't look for God in him. You see him look like that, that ain't God. So he had a way of doing it in symbol. But if we look, we know, even with Jesus, of the Christians, of our Christian brothers and sisters, family, loved ones, would understand, God has no birthday and he has no death day. You can't kill him. That's the life we have to live without argument. We don't have to argue with our Christians. Didn't nobody have to argue with me. Just let me read the Quran. I read the Quran, and everything in there is logical. There was a body of Christians who got together. They studied, and they go over material to see was it from God or not. I was imam in Glassboro, New Jersey. They was in the town next to it. A flyer went around saying that these Christians are going to have, Caucasians too, these Christians are going to have a discussion on Islam, and I got the flyer. And I called them and I told them, look, I see on this flyer you're going to speak about Islam, but you have nobody that's speaking that knows Islam. I'm Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. I'm in Glassboro, New Jersey. They invited me over. I said, myself, my wife, and my three children will come. They knew we were African-American. When I got into the church, we were the only African-American. My wife had her covering as the normal MGT used to dress, or the Muslim woman would dress. My two daughters were dressed like that. Then it was my son and myself. The man spoke, and when he finished, I really didn't have nothing that I needed to say. He said, we studied that group of a bunch of ministers. They studied the Quran. They went back and forth. They studied the word of God wherever they may find it to see if it's real or not. This preacher had the ability to stand by Allah's permission in front of his large congregation of Caucasians, male and female, young and old. Very, very few, if any, children was any other than mine. And he said to them that we found after studying the Quran, every word in it is from God. They had to say that. They said there was nothing that was selfish about the one that was giving it or weak. It had to be from God. Now, that means if we live the life, people will come in there at good time. So I'm going to open the mic up once again. Oh, did he go? No, he's still there. I'm opening him up. Yeah, this is him right there. No, this is it. This is, that's it. That's the new one. Yeah, open the mic up once again for 334-419, and your mic is open.
Yes, sir. Michael Hameen. Again, assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
It comes to my mind. I, when I study the Quran, I look at what Allah tells us about ourselves. Imam Muhammad told us that if you're not seeing yourself in the Quran, you're not reading it correctly. And
I mean,
so I'm thinking in terms of what his father said, that you'll never be equal to the white man until you have equal knowledge. And I didn't take that to mean just knowing, but the application, that's when you really know that,
that's
you
right.
know, that you have the knowledge. And I'm looking at us that identify with the leadership of Imam Muhammad. And I don't think there's any concern about us practicing the religion, the deen. But the issue is the application in terms of Al-Islam being not just religion, but Al-Islam being the way of life that God preferred. And I'll stop there, ma'am. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank, thank you. And touch of one again, just in case you want to come back again. All right? Yes, sir. And I agree with you 100%, Brother Mike. And I believe you said Hamid, Michael Hamid. And we know for a fact that Allah is not giving us something that just to play with. But we also know for a fact that the life is so good that when you're living it the way, to the best of your ability. In other words, I can't go in another prominent. I mean, man, the two brothers with me here, James Bashir and Nathaniel Muhammad. I don't go in their house and check them. They live the Islam just like I live. And when we live it properly, each of us are given that obligation and that right first to check ourselves. Because who know you wrong more than you? You know, when you start out, there's times all of us have done some things that we didn't know what we was doing. We might have stepped out in front of a car almost. Wasn't thinking, wasn't paying attention to that I'm walking across the street and ain't looking at the traffic. Could have been dangerous. Could have killed. There's some things we could do worse than that or better than that. But nonetheless, Allah permits every individual, as you're saying about what I could take it the same way as you're saying what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad both said. If I look into me, I know that I'm a Muslim. I know that I'm a believer. I'm not just a Muslim. I don't just submit. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I'm a person, and this is not giving me faith over everybody else. My father and my mother, I thank Allah. I never in my life heard them say a curse word. I never seen either of them drink. My oldest brother, who's 10 years older than me, he's alive still today. Never seen him do either one of those things. Not saying that they did, but I never seen it, never witnessed it, never heard it. Even as a youngster, when I came up, I didn't want to curse. I was in these street gangs in Philadelphia. I was among them. And sometimes I got caught in the area, their area, and they threw off some curse words to me, and I cursed back. You know, I thought I could fight. I felt I could fight. But I had to show somebody some with words before they even want to put their hands up. And most times they didn't put their hands up. When I walked down the street going home, I would always pass on a particular street, South Street that is. As I get to 8th to turn the left to go towards my house, there was the clothing store who had windows, you know, wide open that you could get your reflection. And I would look at my reflection. I'd say, my name was Harry back then. I said, Harry, you know you don't curse. That ain't what you're supposed to do. Thank Allah for that image my father and my mother gave me that made me not want it. When I went to Vietnam, I did some cursing like everybody else. We carrying bodies, we killing people trying to kill us, et cetera, et cetera. But when I got on that plane, July 10th, 1969, the people that were talking, one brother tried to give me some pills. I said, what I'm going to do with the pills? He said, you know, it'll keep you calm. He said, the only thing you got to worry about, it might make you get up and want to walk off the plane. So I said, now, if I don't get high, why would I take a pill, you know what I mean, walk off the plane? No, I don't need that. Thank you. And I vowed right there. And I know that this Quran was working on me. As well as my father and mother's life, the Quran was working on me. Because I said, as of right now, and I use the term Allah, hadn't been to a temple but one time. This whole year, I just had the Quran and the Bible to read. And the Quran gave me everything I needed, I felt, to believe that Allah is God. And I said, Allah, if it please you for me to get back home to in America, I will become a Muslim. Curse again. This is July 10th, 1969. I won't smoke. I won't use anything. I didn't get high much, but I won't use anything to get any type of high. And I can say clearly, and this don't make me no big to-do, but I can say clearly I've kept my word. There's two people since July 10th, 1969, heard me use a curse word. One was my second wife, who deceased almost 30 days short of 28 years of marriage. And I used the curse word because she fat-mouthed one day, said something. Mm. And I used the curse word.
Mm.
And the thing that stopped me this time, she turned right around and used it right back on me. I said, oh, wait a minute. You ain't got to worry about that no more. So, yes, Allah, and you said it in a different way, but I believe the same. Allah makes us see in our life that what we need, the question is, will we really live it? And that's what this body of Muslims, we are behind Imam Muhammad. But as I say to different imams when I see them, that we have to have the unity that we once had. Some of the imams have taken off with Arabic. So that means our schools should be teaching from preschool, if they can, to the sixth grade, five or six languages. Our children will never be enslaved by nobody or feel inferior to nobody if they don't even be enslaved, because they would be able to communicate in a different way. That would help them. But for us to just use across the roster Arabic, and some imams in Philadelphia, well, I think around the country, we had today's, what they called it, the battle of the groups, you know, Temptations, Smokey Robinson, Curtis Mayfield, and all the rest of them. So I hear that when I hear the imams get up and just use Arabic. It's like, who could say it the best? There's an ayat, Quran, that Allah tells us, speak to the people in their language so they can't say they don't understand. Arabic is not our language. I'm not saying Amen. Don't get it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You left my mic open. You left my mic open, so I just wanted to say,
yeah,
the imams, many of them are doing mm-hmm. what you said, and you got jokes. The imams are to utilize the Arabic in terms of bringing to the people the greater insights that the Arabic represents. And again, looking at Imam Muhammad's model, he didn't try to wow us with his knowledge of the Quran, but so what he did was influence us, inviting us to look into the language. You know, to put the language on, if you get a good recitation of the Arabic, and I did that, and just put it on. You know, you can go about doing other things, but I found that it would develop your ear for the proper pronunciation, it's very helpful to the spirit, to the soul. You know, it has its indirect effects on us. But the Arabic...
Yes.
Again, going back to the model, look at how Imam Muhammad utilized the Arabic to help edify us, to lift us up, you know? And
so many,
and you can kind of tell, you can kind of tell by the fruits that they're bearing and the actions in terms of where they're going. And I'm not knocking imams, but I do think we need to encourage the followership to support the good imams that show by their language and their deeds that they're actually working to implement what the imam gave us. And the larger focus, you know, the Arabic should be attached to the focus that the imam gave us, community life.
Yes.
How do we establish community life? What's the best strategy? And again, Imam Muhammad represents that to us in terms of the approach for establishing ourselves. But again, when I get a little frustrated, I remember Allah says that most of the people don't know, and that would include the leadership model as well, and that has to be that has to be expanded. Those who are in the rear, knowledge of educational, Islamic education, those who are in the rear, who have economic understanding of the Quran, many, hopefully, that they've made the Quran their business partner, then, you know, these are the people that need to come forward and expand that leadership model to institutional life model. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, thank you very much, Brother Mike, once again. And that's one of the things that we're working on. The halal industry, when I spoke to Imam Muhammad in 95, and I said, Brother Imam, oh, don't forget to hit your one. You hit your one, too, and then you can come back on if you need to.
Yeah, take me out of the queue.
Yeah, I got to do that. That's right. That's right. All right, you work, you'll be out in a moment. There you go. So here we, while the Imam was alive, he said, build the modern community. He worked to establish the meat processing plant out there also. And when I would talk to him in 95 about the meats and everything, but we did our meats. We started Blau's Meats back in his time, you know what I mean, the early part of his time. So when I spoke with him in Newark, and I told him, I said, Brother Imam, the meat, the processing meat and making meat and selling meat is a business, yes. I said, but if we use your name, we can take it all over the country and all over the world. I said, but it's not just a business; it's an industry. So with the halal industry, which is what we're a part of, we see the model community coming about, but it's not going to come about just because one or two say. It's like what you say. The Imam's got to see. Why did the Imam say the model community? Why did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, up you mighty nation, you can accomplish what you will. Do for self. You know what I mean? Look at your environment and change it. You don't need nobody standing over you. All of this was to boost us to what the world used us in building around them, but leaving ourselves out. So we have the opportunity with the halal industry, should allow us to establish it. We see that with the goal here, and we're rumbling with the city. This city has held us up literally 18 years. But the goal is still to plan and do in it animals such as beef products, the products from lamb and goat, and the products from poultry on three different levels of the building. That goal is first to have it where, since cattle are so large, that we will be doing a working to get within the first year. We'll be doing all the product, but with the first year, we want 1 million pounds by the end of the year. Might take 2 years, might take 3 years. But by the end of the year, we would love to have reached the goal of 1 million pounds of meat product, beef product, to be sold to our public. What we want to do with that $1 million profit, we're not talking about how much money. We made much more money because we got to pay everybody to run it for all the animals. We got to pay for the machinery. We got to pay for the property, et cetera, et cetera. So this $1 million profit is the low. But that low, we want to split it in five categories. This is $1 million a week, $52 million a year. We want to take the first category and put people, Muslims first, African-American Muslims, not biased. You know, some Caucasians asked when they seen the plan early on, what if we wanted to be a member? You can. And we'll do for you just like we do for ourselves. The difference is the Caucasian, we have to put your business in your neighborhood. When we look at our neighborhood across the country, too many of us have come out of having our own businesses to everybody else from us over, abroad, really, got their businesses in our neighborhood. We're known across the country of being a food desert, meaning we can't even feed ourselves. They say that just that plain. The African-American community is a food desert. So Donald Elijah Muhammad, a man born in 1897 with a third grade education, look what he did with the nation. Look how he made us stand up around the country and be recognized, that people later on in a certain era begin to ask over at least 10 years, where are the Muslims? Because once upon a time we kept the streets safe. We slipped. But we can pull ourselves back because Imam Muhammad gave us an open life to see how to make it work for us just like it worked for anybody else. The Imams, they have to do their part. I'm an Imam, but I'm an Imam with a spirit, the way my family came up, leaving the South, coming to the North. We were in business all my life. So business is a part of what I see. That million pounds will be divided in five categories every week. The first category, we're looking for Muslims in any city that want to go in business and can give a minimum of 1 to 3 pages of a profile of what their business is about, something about them. We'll let those who do feasibility studies look to see if the business plan is that means that individual or group will go deeper into just 1 or 3 pages of a business plan. Some of our people, I've seen it, I witnessed it myself by helping people over the years. They want something, and when you look at it and say, well, that ain't the best thing for you, this one over here, they get scared because they think you ain't going to help them. No, just give me this. So a person may say, I see a place over here, it's going to take $50,000 to open, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody doing a feasibility study might look at that and say, yeah, that's good. But if they're 10 blocks away, it's a corner there that's open, they'll do much better because it's more traffic. They see the dynamics are bigger. So we want to help ourselves get in businesses in our community first, throughout the state or city that we live in, but in our community first if we can. We want to open up supermarkets. I don't want to run it. Brother Nate and James don't want to run it. We want to produce the money to do it. So we need people who may be working in supermarkets around the country, managing for other people that would be willing to go in and do it. They said, don't make a difference what city they're in. Should we reach our goal of that $1 million, we got 20% every week, $200,000 to put towards somebody going in business. For one person, they might need $500,000. Right. So that $500,000 may be exactly what they need, and it may take 2.5 weeks to give them that. But we want to put people in business. The second, but I see your hand, and I'll turn you on in a minute. The second piece of the 20% would be to create industries. Every people in this country got industry except for us. So what are the industries? The first industry would be meat processing, slaughtering and meat processing. What's happening automatically if I'm right? And we do get to that $1 million or near the $1 million within a year. That means every cow, when I used to slaughter in 95, when I was talking to the imam early on, I'd go slaughter 10 animals, 10 head of cattle, and I'll take 200 to 400 pounds off of each animal. That would be what I'd process with. This day and time when we slaughter, if we slaughter for $1 million, that's 1,000 to 1,500 head of cattle. We own the whole cow. So the day we begin, we need a building as big as what we got or bigger to do hides over there. Leather goods on one area or one floor, gold on another, lamb on another, and chicken material on another. Now, besides that, when you anybody get a chance, study, go to Google and find out what are the byproducts of just cow. Do them all, but start off with cow. We service hospitals. It serves almost everything. Leather goods, it serves hospitals, many things. So that's another industry. Somebody got to raise the cattle. We want to tie in with the black farmers in America who goes to the bank for years, going to the president for years trying to get money to go. We're their money. We're their way. You raise the animals the way we tell you, we're going to put our inspectors on there, young men, young women, older men, older women, that will work for us to make sure you do. Just like USDA go on the farm, they'll be there for us to make sure they're fed the way they should be fed, they're kept the way they should be kept, so we can keep the label of halal on all of our products. So we're boosting our people because we're going to take the farmers, if they will, and if they won't, Allah will give us our own farmers. But we think we can take all of them. We can even take Caucasian farmers, but we're going to go to our own first. In other words, who needs saving? We need saving. We need to save. Allah says what? Save yourself and your family from the hellfire. And hellfire don't always have to burn. It can make you hungry. It can make you be, you feel starving. You feel you can't make it in life, et cetera, et cetera. So, no, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us the pattern. Imam Muhammad helped us to see even the easier way to get it done, to cultivate it. That's right. And that's what we could do. We right today, this African-American can do anything. Where's our economics, though? Now, we don't want welfare once we move. We want to put each other in business. I'm pushing the idea of the model community. I'm not the only one, but I tried to get others to do it in a few fields, and they suggested I should. Okay, my mindset. We need a program like a Zoom that we'll talk, and we'll find out the talents of each other. That we can say, what good for me, if I were saying to everybody right now, what do I see as a model community? I would start off saying we might need 1,000 acres of land. On that 1,000 acres of land, we want to think about how many houses we want to put on each acre, and each house can house 5 people. So if we want to put 1 on an acre, then we got 5,000 people living on those 1,000 acres. If we want to put 10 houses there, and they all got the same, we went up to what? Almost, I think, if I'm counting right, about 500,000 people living in the area. We need another strip of land for strip malls. And I don't mean strip malls that just have stores. We need strip malls that also that sell cars that we're going to eventually make, phones and technology that we're going to actually produce. But once you start making them, why would we stop? We don't have to worry about whether Edison gave credit to the brother back then. We're going to have our own places. This is the spirit that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us. This is the spirit that Imam Muhammad said, build the model community. Put me in a good place. He knew we could do it. But you can't do it if you separate. If you think teaching is everything, it's big. Don't get me wrong. But if you ain't got no economics, the teacher got to quit and go get a job.
That's right.
And you know, the children will be left there. I'll come back and get them on the weekend because I got to go get a job. I can't feed my family. I can't pay for my mortgage.
That's right.
Can't eat. We've been eating beans all week. We'll buy a case of beans from don't even go to the supermarket. They go to the
wholesale
house. Get a case, a teacher getting a case of beans to eat all week. He can't teach no more. No, we got to see this in the reality. And you're right, my brother, Michael, in what you're saying. I believe that was Michael at that time, saying that we have to work together. We need imams. We need imams to be professors in the schools, some of them, not all of them. We need imams that also bring the people together to talk about doing this across the country. One voice everywhere that we're going to build. And we're going to excite our people into building. We ain't going to get into the racial fight that America and other places be getting into. Too much. They want to have all the power. Racism and just power. No, let's be God's man. Let's work together. I know my brother has his hand up and he's down now. And I apologize. Just was on the run for a minute. You know what I mean? So. We're going to, at this point, we're going to give take another PSA. And I didn't even use one of these over here.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference at American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. I'd like to read from the 14th surah of the Quran, ayats 5, 6, 7, and 8. we sent Moses with our signs and the command, bring out thy people from the depths of darkness into light, and teach them to remember the days of Allah. Verily in this there are signs for such as are firmly patient and constant, grateful and appreciative. Remember, Moses said to his people, call to mind the favor of Allah to you when he delivered you from the people of Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. They set you hard tasks and punishments, slaughtered your sons, and let your woman folk live. Therein was a tremendous trial from your Lord. And remember, your Lord caused to be declared publicly, if ye are grateful, I will add more favors unto you. But if ye show ingratitude, truly my punishment is terrible indeed. And Moses said, if ye show ingratitude, ye and all on earth together, yet is Allah free of all wants, worthy of all praise. Join us every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Inc. is to establish community economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org Corporation Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Supreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Nate Muhammad, the Halal Industry, Do For Self. I'd like to just comment on a couple of things the Imam had addressed and what we've been talking about earlier, being a servant to humanity. And how are we going about to be the servant? I said we have to unite African American descendants of slaves. We've been in a lot of meetings, sitting down with our people in our community. And one thing I noticed that we're still moving from an individuality. And that is our greatest enemy. Because when we look and when we're moving individually, we're moving from both sides. We're moving from our best side and we're moving from our worst side. And then we'll sit back and see which side will take the lead. We was growing up, we grew up saying that we always lead with our best side. Our best side. And as we move from a unified manner within unity, there's no weakness. There's no ugliness. We did food co-ops. We did all kinds of things together where I seen that our people and everybody moving from their best side, how well the function and how the spirit was there, the progressive street. I've seen this. And that's why we're going to establish this halal industry. We have to lead with our best side. Come forward with your best knowledge. Be the best that we can. That's what I see. We've been harping on our strategy, how we're going to make this happen. Unite. Do for self. To build our modern community. That is the best strategy. I haven't seen nothing, heard nothing yet, and I'll do that. I just have to commend the imam. It's a very good strategy. I've been around him almost over 40 years, and he came up with a lot of things, how we got things done, setting up from community life, from this spirituality, just like how he explained this. This was normal. I used to be amazed how he did this. So with this halal industry, he the one that established that, laid it out, and everything is in order. If Allah bless us tomorrow, have abundance of people, we'll be successful with it because we already have our structure. We already have our direction. And this is important, especially the African-American people descendants of slaves. As we said earlier, and I heard the brother say earlier, that majority of the people don't know. So that means we have to be an example for our people. We have to be an example for what we want, what we want to do. But the main thing we have to be an example of, be an example in doing what Allah wants. Not what we, why I say we have to wait till Allah send the people to us. We can't force anything. We just be patient, persevere. That's what we have to do. And I know we're going to be successful because Allah is with us. I don't have no doubt that we won't be successful. Now, the only thing I might worry about, whether I'll be here to see it. That's the only thing I worry about. But regardless what it is, we already laid the foundation for all this. It's already set in stone. So no matter what time or when the time comes, we'll be ready. Now, and if I didn't see it, I couldn't say it. Lord. All right, I see we got a hand up. Pull it up. Again, that's the brother Michael. The mic is on.
Assalamu alaikum. Brother, thank you so much. You reminded me of something when I was asked to go to Birmingham, Alabama as a resident imam. And I found out later that we were losing property. I understand the assault is still on in terms of the associate.
Yes, it is.
Father of Imam Muhammad, that they're still trying to get our properties, you know, get us to sign contracts where, you know, they will be in charge of the properties, but they're going to give us some money. You know, this assault is still going on. But my point is, the point I wanted to make, you brought back a memory, a beautiful memory. The minister of the Nation of Islam was in charge. His name was our brother William Muhammad. He was coordinating a food co-op, and he came to the masjid and specifically asked me to come and join him, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
I remember working with that co-op man. You know, the spirit among those few individuals that had the vision of a collective buying. The spirit was so beautiful, man. And, you know, that you just brought back a very fond memory that reminded me the last address of Imam Muhammad that if you got one or two that you can work with, be happy, you know?
Be happy.
And the last, and the other thing he said was, he was talking to Chicago, but he said, you Muslims are too moody. You're too moody. You know, you give charity when you want to. So we have to go around these moody folks and find the ones like ourselves. And we've got people out there that have a similar disposition that you could call them allies, allies or what have you, you know, but they may be speaking the language of black power. But if you feel, if you sense, if you think that they have a similar spirit, they're sincere, you know, work with them.
Yeah, you know.
And give them the language. Give them the language, because the language, you know, and it, we don't have to force it on them, because it's a part of the best of their nature. You know, and I'll stop there. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Closing mic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, that spirit that you was talking about from that co-op we did, you know, we had about 25 families. Mm-hmm. And we was all looking forward to do our part. It was so wholesome, and we didn't even know it. I mean, I remember it, but I didn't know how wholesome it was.
Mm-hmm.
All because we all, with no argument, like I said, wasn't no negative, no moodiness. That people didn't come out of disturbed or nothing. Everybody came in, was happy to do their part. And our objective was to do that. Well, our whole goal was to build a produce or a grocery store from there. Was our objective. It didn't happen, but that spirit still is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen it in another company. It was another company of people that did it, and they did the same thing that we did. And when they got moved out of the masjid and got their own little storefront or store, and everybody that's bought into the food co-op, they were a member, and they were the employees. They didn't go out. They didn't have to go hire nobody, because you had the members there.
Mm.
And that wealth there, and I'm sitting there looking after their there what we should have did. But we can still do it, because the desire is still there. And the need. You know, the need to do for ourselves. But it has to start somewhere. And the best place to start, I would say now, back then it was the masjid.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have the masjid in our heart. So it will start from us, those who know. And we can be. And progress.
Mm-hmm.
We can progress greatly from this. And at the same time create a work for and wealth for or financial wealth for our people.
That's right.
So that's what we're looking for through the halal industry.
Mm-hmm.
Do for self.
Mm-hmm.
Being the vessel to establish the model community. Only because we have some of the people that's moving in it, knows what they're doing. The greatest thing is that you have your idea and your direction where you want to go. The other part is to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be an inspiration to each other, affordably, collectively, to establish it. And that's our economical goal, only because we did it before.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's the man, Maureen, you Bilal is back. So I'd like to turn the mic back over to him. Nate Muhammad, Halal Industry, do for self.
As-salamu alaykum, Nate, and also Brother James, thank you very much. Once again, this is Iman Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry, do for self. Goal, our effort. You know, we can never say enough about what do we or how do we see it? You know, when Allah says in the Quran, Shura Bainahum, he's calling on more than one to come together to make a decision, to make things happen. And that's what we have to do. We have to decide that we want to work together, not just in the city that we're in, but across the country. We want to be just like we were, but better. Better because what? We had strong teachers. You know, there were many ministers under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that did the best they could. And think about this here. I mentioned about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's age and when he was born, et cetera, et cetera. 1930 to about 1955 particularly, but even coming into 65, there many of our people couldn't read or write. But they were able to see that something needed to be done that was unified and moving towards success for us, but not with a hatred. That's the difference. Our people have been treated worse than anybody in the world through slavery. All we got is a history of it. We don't necessarily feel it, but we can still see the ugly sting from people that, and we know it's not from everybody, but we know that this culture carries a air about it that we still are nothing, and if we make it, we should be happy. We're grateful. We're beyond happy. We're grateful to Allah. And that's who everybody should be showing their gratitude to first. Because when we put it first for God, for Allah, the Creator, however we make call the title, we know it ain't but one. If you're talking about who made the car, you might just say Ford, Mercury, or this or that, or whatever the case is. And one day, some of our names are going to be on cars. Because once we start industry, we're going to be in all industries. You get the momentum rolling right, it don't fall back. It gets better. But at the same time, when you're talking about the creation itself, and particularly the creation of man, it's the one God. In any language that we use, Allah is an Arabic term. We know that. Two words there, Al-Illah. No God. The God. We ain't talking about nothing else. We're talking about the entity that created everything, who don't turn his back on us. Allah does not turn his back on the human being, period. Allah says he created us all as one, but we know even in that, Shaitan, he does his whispering, and most of the whispering that we see that come between man is racial or some kind of bias. But we can't get caught up in that. We just need to build with the energy to make a better world. Make a better world. And a better world will also empower African-American descendants of slaves to be presidents, senators, governors, et cetera, people in council that talk rather than fight. I have to say something about what's going on around the world. It's ugly today. What Putin did is ugly. What Israel is doing today is ugly. As I said, and I pray that, you know, I mean, what I'm saying makes sense to the majority, even though we only got a few listening. But I pray that Allah will make people see that, number one, everybody that was doing the killing, or the majority, I won't say everybody, the majority of those who were from Hamas that did the killing that they say was done to the Israelis, they got pictures of them. America saw the pictures like they were right here, like they were standing right in our room. That calls for a national arrest warrant. Think about what I'm saying. I'm not talking small. Governments kill innocent people, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Christian, whether they're Muslims, whether they're Europe, whether it's America, whether it's somewhere else. We don't have to do that. The wisdom would be, and we must show wisdom to those who don't have it. The wisdom would be, you said these 10 people who you showed pictures of did the killing, then put a wanted arrest, a wanted, what they call it, indictment, whatever. You want them dead or alive. You may come to find out some of them are somebody that they ain't saying they are. Wouldn't be the first time. a Muslim to be really an Israeli, or Israeli could really be a Muslim. You know what I mean? In other words, disguised to get something, to get a war, to get a war going. What they did was wrong. No Muslim should be with them that went over there and killed those people innocent, regardless what they are. Forget what they are. Who the ones did it? And then think about this. Just look out in front of your house. Look out about 10 blocks. Look out about 10 blocks in any direction from your house, wherever you at. Imagine somebody came in your house and tore up everything in your house, took everything out that they could, and hurt the people that was in there. You didn't. You got pictures of them, but you don't know which way they ran. And within 10 blocks, they may be. But you shoot 1,000 bombs 40 miles away. Now, you said they killed somebody innocent. Who did you kill? You're firing like thing that happened yesterday. You believe the head of this group was in this tunnel. So you blew up half the city. And it might not have been half the city, but it was too much to get one man. Babies, hospitals, women, girls, children, old folks. But you got pictures of the people that did the killing who came on the land that you're talking about, came in your house, if you imagine that. You got pictures. You had a ring or some kind of cameras that's at your door, so when they came in the door, you got a picture of everybody. Yeah, but you're going to shoot bombs a few miles away when you know they ain't even got 10 blocks away yet. Supposed to be acceptable around the world. That's wrong. We have to be the model. No, we're not talking about grabbing arms and whatnot, but we can't be afraid. But we have to say what's right. Killing innocent people is killing innocent people.
Right.
Following the word of Allah, God, following that message that Allah gives to us, don't kill, thou shalt not kill, especially innocent people, especially children, especially seniors, especially sick people. All of that don't have to be done. When we look at what took place, all I'm saying is a better way of resolving the problem, a better way of resolving the problem. The problem is not a situation that is so far gone that we can't figure it out. We ain't in 1930, 20, nothing like that when you don't have cameras. You got cameras. We saw right here in Philadelphia, and you, whatever state you in, we saw it right on the news, the ones that shot the rifles, the ones that ran in the house. You seen their face, clear as we can see somebody sitting next to us. So wanted posters should go out with their face. Instead of killing for miles away, you're going to wipe out all of Hamas. You don't know if all of Hamas agreed. Maybe these are the derelicts that just said, we're going to do it. Nobody else want to do it? They made movies like that, right? Don't nobody else want to go? We're going to go. Come on, gang. Let's go get them. Rebels. So that might have been what you had that go over there. Hey, but you want a war. Itching for a war. It's not right or... It's white, W. You get my point? W-H-I-T-E, I got to spell it, R-I-G-H-T. It's not a right thing to do. It's a white thing to do to say that Israel is, you can keep killing people instead of saying, don't go no further. You didn't kill enough people. You didn't kill more people than was killed in your land. You know, in other words, you want the guilty people, not the innocent people. In America, right here, we got Marines, we got Navy, we got Army. I was in the Army. I served in Vietnam. And we were careful over there in Vietnam. I'm sure we killed some people that wasn't supposed to be killed, but we were careful. And they killed a lot of people that shouldn't have been killed, but we was on their land with rifles, with weapons. But if the Army is fighting, you mean somebody should start just wiping out all the army bases because it's the army that's doing it? or just wipe out all America. Well, a war is like that, but this here shouldn't be like that. Is it our business? Yes, it's our business, because it could spread again. And like I said, it looks like it's more racist, more class system, and other things that divide man against another man. Somebody got to say, hey, Jews, Christians, Muslims, we should never kill innocent people. God tells us that. Since we say we believe in God, we believe in the Creator, we want us to be seen as holy and right. That's ugly. What I've seen, and I'm sure what everybody see, is ugly. Schools, people with, whether they say in the Muslims, whether they say in the Jews, it's wrong. It's ugly. It shouldn't be that far. How would somebody be attacked in this country for what went over there? What went on over there? How could you blame them for that? Did they get a special plane and get back into the city? Into the country? All over was what? And think about the Palestine people. Yeah, the Palestinians. Yeah. 1948, a rule was made by British and America that you're going to take some land and give it to the Jews because the Jews was being destroyed by Hitler. Now, that sounds crazy. How did the Palestinians have to suffer that? That you come up under another people and those people can oppress you the whole time and you still get some money from America while you're doing it. That don't sound right. So let us bring Mike back on, Mike.
Take on.
Assalamu
alaikum. I was looking at YouTube and I've gone through different YouTube channels. And this guy came up and he was talking about language and he brought up that the early origins of the Zionist movement when Palestine was colonialized by the British, you had right. the Stern Gang, which one of the leaders of present day Israel was a member yeah. of. Menachem Begin, and there was also mm-hmm. the what's called the Irgun and the Lehi. I think it's named after Samson taking the jawbone of an ass and killing Philistines. But it was also terrorists, seen as a terrorist group. These groups were identified by the United Nations as terrorists. Mm. So the early origins of Israel is founded in terrorism.
I mean, that's right.
And these labels, you know, we have to remind each other of the lastly, we have to remind each other of the content, as you just mentioned, Imam. You know, the yes. labels don't mean a thing without the content. I can be a terrorist identifying myself as a Muslim. I can be a Christian yes. identifying myself, or I should say a terrorist identifying myself as a Christian, or a terrorist mm-hmm. identifying myself as a Jew. You know, it's mm-hmm. the content.
Yeah.
It's the content. And we have to yes. stand, as you say, stand up for justice. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And we'll close your mic. And 704-806, your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum and rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa barakatuh. Yes, assalamu alaikum, son.
Yes, this is an excellent topic tonight and very relevant. And we all have to stay, as we say, in prayer and also stay vigilant of our surroundings
yes.
here, even here in the United States. So we have to be knowledgeable about what's going on. And I thank you for bringing it on as a topic of interest tonight. And we also need to know
yes.
what we can do here in the United States of America to show support for justice and peace for believers. Because God says
yes.
Allah says he's on the side of the believers and the believers will win through. So we want to know the facts. We don't want any news that is not accurate. We want that stopped, and we want to know how we can solve the problem. And one of the things that I've been thinking of, Allah always tells us in the Quran, is his earth is spacious. You know, we don't have to be weak and oppressed in the land. If it's not worth your life, it's not worth your family's life, your children's life, hey, Allah, this is his earth. So if push comes to shove and that's all that is left, you know, don't wait until your life is in danger before you migrate. We, our brothers and sisters have to know that. You know, Allah never takes something away without replacing it with something better. So thank you so much for this topic, and may Allah continue to bless you.
Bless us all, Thank you very much, my sister. And I'm going to turn your mic off, touch your one, just in case you want to come back. We only got a couple minutes left, but if you wanted to come back in, you could touch it and we'll know that you're there. So I'm going to turn your mic off so you can touch the one, your hand will move, and if you need to get back on, touch it again. And we have just a few minutes left anyway, but thank you, all of the callers. And we have to recognize we have something to do with things. We have people in office, local, state, and federal. We need to communicate with them that clearly Muslims, Christians, Jews, that's the order backwards, the way they were given revelation. But all of us are told by God, don't murder, don't kill, and especially don't kill the innocent. So the United States' voice should be that neither should kill. Not the Jewish kill someone, nor should the Hamas kill someone, especially innocent people. And we're talking about children. Everywhere you go, they're talking about how large the numbers are of youngsters. And you're blowing it up, you know what I mean? So, and we're supposed to be all right with that. No, we're not all right. We need the people to see clearly, you know what I mean? So I'm going to turn the mic over to Brother James Bashir as he works us to the closing. And I want to thank each and every one of you that had something to say to make it a conversation today. You know, we can talk, but we like conversations. So feedback is great. So we can straighten our language if we're wrong. But if we're saying the same thing, may Allah bless us all to be successful in what we do.
Thank you, Brother Matthew. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Inc., and co-host James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interests of Bilal Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build a model community. I really thank everyone for joining into the program today, and inshallah, we will talk again next Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.